Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the Dynamic Technologies Group, Inc. 2020 Year-End Investor Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star and then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I will now hand the call over to Mr. Alan Francis, Vice President of Corporate Affairs and Administration for Dynamic Technologies Group, Inc. Please go ahead.
Hello, and welcome to the Dynamic Technologies Group 2020 Year-End Investors Conference Call. Today, we will have information presented by Guy Nelson, Executive Chairman and CEO of Dynamic. Immediately after his presentation, Michael Martin, our Chief Financial Officer, Jerry Pearson, our Chief Operating Officer, and myself will join him and be available to respond to questions. First, here are a couple of housekeeping notices. If you'd like more information about Dynamic or to receive regular update bulletins, please let me know. You can find my contact information on any of Dynamic's news releases. Today's call is being recorded. The recording will be available on our website tomorrow. We remind you that our remarks may include forward-looking statements that are subject to important risks and uncertainties. For more information on these risks and uncertainties, please see the reader advisory at the bottom of our results news release, as well as in our MD&A. You will find these on our website and on SEDAR. The company's actual performance could differ materially from these statements. Dynamic is in the themed entertainment industry. Our specialty is designing and building the iconic centerpiece rides and theme parks. We work with global theme park operators to create many of the world's most popular attractions. In addition to Orlando and California, our rides are also in theme park resorts located in Japan, Korea, China, Macau, France, Russia, Indonesia, and the Middle East. We are also entering the rapidly growing tourist-based entertainment market with an incredible high-fidelity guest experience. This is being done through co-venture partnerships. Under this initiative, we will be partnering with tourist venues to co-own and operate our attractions, thereby earning a long-term, predictable, recurring, and growing revenue stream. We also put our unique engineering skills to use on specialty projects, helping select clients with cutting-edge projects such as astronomical telescopes, undersea equipment, and carbon capture equipment. Dynamic Technologies Group, Inc. is our new name for 2021. We changed our name back in March to better reflect the transition the company has made away from the steel fabrication roots of Empire Ironworks towards the high-tech businesses of dynamic attractions, dynamic structures, and dynamic entertainment. Dynamic was selected as a 2020 TSX Venture 50 company. The TSX 2020 Venture 50 is a ranking of top performers of the TSX Venture Exchange over the past year. The ranking is comprised of 10 companies from each of five industry sectors, with Dynamic being selected in the diversified industry category. Selection was based on three equally weighted criteria: share price, trading, and market capitalization. We filed our 2020 audited statements this past Tuesday. You'll find over 75 pages of detailed disclosure in these filings. We have also completely refreshed our websites and social media platforms concurrent with the name change. There's a lot of information at http://dynamictechgroup.com, and I would bring your attention to the November 2020 annual general meeting presentation that is online there. This provides a lot of pertinent information about the company's strategy and the markets we are pursuing. I'll now hand the call over to Guy Nelson, our Chief Executive Officer and Executive Chairman, for his presentation. Guy?
Thanks, Alan. Good morning, everyone. Today, I'll be discussing 4 points: growth in recurring profit from co-ventures, how we weathered the pandemic storm in our ride division, refocusing our unique world-class engineering talent in some new markets that are outside of the entertainment industry, and our three-point financing plan. As I discuss these four topics, I'll be highlighting the company's strategy and our future plans and provide some insight as to why the company is so excited about the future. Executing this four-point plan successfully is what is needed to drive our profit to levels that reward shareholders handsomely. The first point relates to converting our exciting pipeline of co-venture opportunities into reality, just like our co-venture in Tennessee. We are accelerating our development plans for the co-venture business and our dynamic entertainment business unit, focusing on the top five English-speaking countries and China. We are using co-ventures to leverage our proprietary IP by developing the numerous exciting co-ventures in our pipeline. The company is very bullish on its ability to penetrate the tourist-based entertainment market by combining its world-class proprietary rides with industry-leading attraction expertise, especially in theater products. The company's co-venture strategy is perfectly suited to capitalize on the post-pandemic world where attraction affordability and guest satisfaction will be two of the most critical success factors for out-of-home entertainment. The company has won the best new attraction concept 4 years in a row. This has never been accomplished in the industry before. These innovative concepts are great, but what's even more impressive is that the company has 8 world-class attractions scheduled for the grand openings at various times throughout 2021. Which is an incredible feat in spite of the pandemic. It is this unmatched track record that has accelerated our ability to identify highly profitable co-venture opportunities in great locations. The flying theater attraction we have developed at the Island Theme Park in Pigeon Forge with our local partners is scheduled to open this summer. Dynamic holds an option to acquire a 50% share of this attraction. I encourage everyone to visit Tennessee and see for yourself why we think we can replicate this type of attraction in many, many more locations in our target markets. The company has assembled a world-class team of attraction experts, and we're working on some incredibly exciting prospects that we're diligently working to bring to market as soon as they can be finalized and financed with partners interested in getting a very high return on the capital they invest and to fund these projects. The second point I want to discuss is how we weathered the pandemic storm. Dynamic has been a key global ride supplier to some of the largest global theme park operators, and we are seeing signs that they're finalizing plans to renew their capital spending on new rides for their theme parks, and we are well positioned to help them accomplish this. Focusing on providing products and services to existing customers that are leaders in the industry will be a good source of profitable work in the future. We're also expanding our profitable parts and service business because this tends to be a steadier and recurring type of business. We're continuing to reduce our ride manufacturing capacity in dynamic attractions in order to weather this industry slowdown. Notwithstanding these reductions, we have a firm commitment to preserve our unique know-how and innovative competency for when the ride procurement market returns. The pandemic has taken its toll on the global economy, and the entertainment industry was hit harder than many industries. Theme parks shut their gates or operated at limited capacity for extended periods of time. The major theme parks are Dynamic Attractions' main customers, and they're just getting back to opening and operating their parks now. As a consequence, most parks put capital expenditure plans for new rides on hold until they could see the pandemic was coming to an end and guests started to return to the parks to be entertained. The guests have already returned in China, and this trend is well underway in the United States, and this is especially true in the Island in Tennessee, where we're about to open our first co-venture. Another very positive indicator are the stock charts for Disney, SeaWorld, Six Flags, and Cedar Fair, which have already bounced back way back past the pre-pandemic levels. This bodes well for our ride division once this translates into ride purchases again. We faced the difficult economic realities of 2020 head-on. We cut the cloth to fit the pattern, and as a result, we were able to end the year with positive EBITDA of $2.9 million, even with a 37% reduction in revenue. We successfully retained as much talent and core competencies as possible, thanks to the government assistance in Canada and the United States. The third point is our strategic focus on diversifying our revenue sources by marketing our unique engineering talent, but to growing market niches. We're aggressively marketing our innovative and very unique engineering capability to diversify the company's revenue sources beyond the attractions industry in our Dynamic Structures subsidiary. The point I would like to stress is that focusing on marketing our highly talented, unique engineering team allows us to preserve our hard-earned ride IP and know-how accumulated over the past number of years. I would encourage shareholders to visit Dynamic Structures' new website to get a clear picture as to why we're so excited about this subsidiary's outlook and get a sense as to why it has been able to be in business since 1926. The fourth point is about our improved liquidity and plans to improve it further. Dynamic's liquidity improved in 2020. In October 2020, we successfully restructured $32.7 million U.S. of long-term debt, pushing out principal payments, lowering interest rates, and changing the covenants. We also raised $5 million of equity for our engineering subsidiary. Our cash used in continuing operations was reduced to a loss of $1.7 million in 2020 versus a staggering loss of $30.6 million in 2019. We have some significant work to do in this area, as we have a working capital deficit of $18.7 million. We are addressing this by implementing a three-point financing plan. We plan to repay over half of the current debt with collection of contract holdback receivables due to be repaid this year. We are rescheduling some of the current debt to long-term debt by refinancing this debt, and we plan to raise equity to fund our co-ventures and improve our working capital. We've engaged an investment banking firm to raise the investment required to fund the company's co-venture opportunities and correct the working capital deficiency. We'll keep shareholders appraised of this initiative as it unfolds. In conclusion, we're excited about our ongoing progress in the co-venture market and our position as a leader in the attraction supply industry. We believe that the sound fundamentals of our base business, together with the future opportunities of co-ventures, represents a place where shareholder value will be increased in a post-pandemic world. For sure, there will be challenges to overcome, but I'm confident our management team is up for the challenge and focused on making our strategy come to life. That concludes my presentation. Dynamic's executive management team are here to answer your questions at this time. Operator, would you please facilitate the question and answer part of the call?
Absolutely. We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. Our first question comes from Giorgio Dalvione with Dalvione Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. I recently found your company a few months ago as I looked to broaden my horizons in the entertainment industry. And I commend you for all that you've done so far, especially with selling off your assets for Tornado Hydrovax and other, you know, non-essentials for your future focus. My question for you today is, if you had to select one of the biggest competitors that you have in the space, if you were able to name them, who would it be? And my second question would be, where do you see the company going eventually? Would your goal be to get like a buyout from, say, Universal or Disney? Do you want to hold on to this for the long term and really leverage those co-venture opportunities so you can pay dividends well into the future? Not physical dividends, but theoretical dividends. That's my questions for you today. Thank you.
Well, nothing like a hardball question to start the day. My goodness, that's thanks, Giorgio. In terms of the part about the competitors, we sort of have different competitors in different parts of our business. On the high end, custom ride manufacturing. It's a very limited field, working for the big people making big ride systems. There's very few people that sort of build up the competency to be able to do that. If I were to pick one, I would, I'd pick Oceaneering as one. It's a subsidiary of a fairly big defense contractor in the U.S. They've been head-to-head with us in that particular market space for some time. In terms of exits growth or sale to potential park operators and whatnot. I don't see that in our future in terms of the park owners being potential acquisitors. you know, tough to say though. Like it really, you know, they sort of like to procure a product from a variety of different players, and so I don't think necessarily that they would be logical buyers of us over the longer term. Now, having said that, these are huge companies. You know, one of the challenges in the industry is that the supply industry, where we are, is quite fragmented and relatively small. We're a fairly big player in a relatively small industry. And so you take Disney at $180 billion market cap, and Universal is a subsidiary of Comcast, another, you know, almost $200 billion company. Those are massive companies that have massive needs, right? So in this space, so they get challenged from time to time to have their iconic rides that drive people to their parks manufactured by a fairly fragmented industry. So that's a challenge. But I think we're more really zeroed in on the co-venture opportunity, which is likely to be financed more on a project by project basis. We're looking at that right now with our investment banker as to how to bring that to life, because we've got so many interesting opportunities there. My sense is that's probably the better space that the financing is going to come from, is from firms that are looking for alternative returns that are a heck of a lot higher than the returns you get in the bond markets today. Does that answer your question, George?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And sorry, if I could just get one more bonus one from you. Is it in your future interest to potentially look at an uplisting to get more exposure and liquidity to your name?
Yeah, I think that's, good question. Yeah, I think it is. I think we are very much, out of sight, out of mind on the venture exchange in a lot of senses. This is a global business, for sure, and we participate globally. All our revenue tends to be in U.S. dollars. We have a very strong presence in Canada from a production point of view, but we also have a very strong presence in Orlando. I think we're looking at different exchanges that sort of match an understanding of where our industry is and where it's going, and that includes Asia as well. Asia, one can't ignore the importance of the growth of the middle class and throughout Asia for the next 20 years, and we're very active in that part of the world.
Good. I think that's actually the majority of your growth will come from that area, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's complicated, but we do have my co-chairman with me is probably one of the most well-connected people in that part of the world, as well as Canada, and so we're aggressively pursuing that market in spite of the pandemic.
If you want, you can just say you accept Bitcoin and your market cap will double overnight, apparently.
Okay. That's probably true. So
that concludes all my questions. Thank you very much for your time.
You betcha.
The next question comes from Ben Elliott with RBC Dominion Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my question. I was just wondering, Guy, maybe you could let us know, Tennessee, is everything shut down right now? Is it, how open is Tennessee? And maybe you could just remind us kind of the size and scope of the Tennessee opportunity. And just a follow on to that is just any color you can give us on progress on the co-ventures in general here that you may be working on. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. So Tennessee, we're, in hindsight, I don't think we could have picked a better location to open our first co-venture partnership. We've got excellent local partners that own the theme park there. That particular theme park has been experiencing record crowds in the last number of weeks. And in fact, all of throughout 2020 was, in spite of being shut for 7 weeks, they actually incurred had an increase in attendance versus 2019. in spite of being shut for 7 weeks. So, you know, it's an excellent location. It's a drivable location. It's it's reachable by 60% of America by car or magic wagon or van or whatever. But so it's a very popular location. So we have been affected by COVID. It's been a challenge to produce the movie, to produce the build the building, to put the attraction together. We are experiencing a few challenges. Electricians are pulling the cable tray this week, et cetera, to get ready for what we'd hope to be an opening for Memorial Day. We are still holding on to some hope on that, but we're probably going to be a couple weeks late on that, just because of just the supply chain has been affected by, you know, Samsung. I was hearing just the other day that some of the pre-show televisions and whatnot that we require, the big screen TVs in the pre-show area, are hard to get. You know, so we have been affected, but it's going to just delay us a little bit. We will be open for the summer season, and that's the most important. In terms of co-ventures in general, we've been very active, as I mentioned, in the five largest English-speaking countries and China. That's been our focus for co-ventures. We sell ride systems all over the world in any country, that can afford them, but in the co-ventures, we've targeted specific marketplaces. And we hope over the next period of time to be announcing some pretty, Tennessee number two sort of thing, and three and four. But that's really combined with, it is a capital-intensive business, right? So, and you can kind of see that if you go onto our website and get a kind of, go into, put a bunch of tables and whatnot on there on just the level of capital intensity of this type of recurring revenue stream over a 20-year concession. It's worth looking at, but, I don't want to obviously mention any specific names at this point, Ben, but other than to say that we've probably got a half a dozen ones that are advancing nicely, and it now becomes having discussions with people about how to participate in helping us to finance these, to bring them to life.
Excellent. Thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. The next question comes from Brad Sharp with Sharp Group. Please go ahead.
Guy, thank you very much for the presentation this morning and for the opportunity to own a company with the growth potential this has. Along the lines of growth, though, and you mentioned that you're the biggest or one of the bigger companies in the space, is the opportunity for growth organic, or is there enough acquisitions out there that you can get to, as Ben or someone said, a next level listing, a TSE listing, by way of acquisitions? Is there enough opportunities out there for that?
Yeah, I would say that the growth is more organic and largely going to come from the co-ventures. The growth will be more bottom line. It's a high margin business, capital intensive, but it's a high margin business. So the growth in bottom line and earnings per share and whatnot will come largely organically from our co-venture activities. I do think that the will continue once the large theme park operators start to reactivate their parks, their capital expenditures within the parks. We will participate and benefit from that because we've been doing that for a number of years, and it is a fairly limited field of capable companies to do the work that's needed to be done by these big companies. But, I don't see consolidation in the industry as a requirement. It's pretty fragmented already. So our focus is more organic growth.
And that's significant enough to grow the company. Thank you. You also mentioned proprietary technology, because obviously in the public markets, you look for, what sort of the blue sky opportunity is. And that proprietary technology, is there a barrier to entry for another company to encroach on that proprietary technology?
Yeah, the... I look back at the last 5 years, and we have invested over 500 person years, engineering person years, in building up a capability that's unique to us. I don't know of any other company that would come close to that level of investment. It's manifested. It's actually showing up this year with our ride openings, and 8 rides are being opened all over the world that are iconic. All of them are iconic in their own right, and are the reason why people, one of the main reasons why people come to these particular theme parks, are because of the ride systems we've been building and delivering. Tennessee, of course, is one of those 8, but it's a co-venture where we actually decided to go vertical, and rather than just sell it to a third-party theme park, actually partner with the theme park and own, in this particular case, half of it if we're able to exercise the option, which we will. Should go on the record as saying what's exactly why we're talking to financing groups to ensure that we capitalize ourselves to fully take advantage of leveraging our own IP in the marketplace all over the world.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Brad.
The next question comes from Doug Visick with RBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Guy. My question this morning, your core, that experience you have, the dynamic structures and the telescopes, that kind of thing that you have, is that right now going ahead? Is there a bunch of opportunity there? How many man hours are you contributing to that these days? And what's the opportunity you see there in your core, that core technology where you got all this experience from?
Yeah. Well, that's thanks, Doug, for that question. There is a project now that we're bidding in partnership with a very, very large construction company, a telescope project. I can't say much about that because we're in the bidding phase, but that will these projects, as you know, if you just take a look at our website, Dynamic Structures website, you'll see there the scope of work is massive. We've decided to pursue that in partnership with one of the largest construction companies in the world, and because we wanted to make sure that we leverage our unique capability to actually build these things and design and engineer and supervise the management of that. So our share will not necessarily be on the bricks and mortar and building all of the infrastructure related to that. That would be more of the construction partner doing that. But when it comes to figuring out how to make those enclosures open and close and in harsh conditions on top of mountaintops, that is a skill set that is unique to us, and that would have an impact on our company. The TMT project, we have finished the detailed engineering of scope of work for the Canadian government as our partnership there. It continues, the TMT board continues to work with local Hawaiian indigenous groups to get through the challenge that particular project's had, siting that telescope on top of Mauna Kea in Hawaii, in the Big Island. They have lined up an alternative location in the Canary Islands if that doesn't go well. So I think that whole area, but, again, we're not just focused on that part of the business. There's some other areas that use mechanical controls, electrical controls, and structural skills and the integration of all that robotic competency that we have in other fields beyond astronomy, beyond ride systems, and the website kind of gets into some of those end markets. So we're pretty excited about that and our unique capability, and we're taking that to market, and it seems to be working nicely.
And just in terms of now the amount of corporate resource you have allocated to that, just to the extent that you can speak about it, is that like with the new things and the new positioning, is that like 10% of corporate resource to that, 20, 30? Is there a ballpark number you can speak about?
I probably use an employee thing, and I would say it's probably, we have our ride engineering side that still continue to deliver rides and whatnot, but I would say that if they go between dynamic structures, dynamic attractions, and again, the skill set, so I would say it'd probably be a third in terms of capable to use those engineering skills in markets beyond just the entertainment business.
Right. Thank you.
Third of the resources.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Guy Nelson for any closing remarks.
Thank you for participating in today's call. Despite some incredibly challenging times during this pandemic, Dynamic is on the right path. We have a strong base of business, proprietary product line, high barriers to entry, and great potential in the recurring profit of our co-venture subsidiary, leveraging our IP in numerous tourist-based locations around the world. This is all supported with a share structure that's 50% owned by insiders, 25% owned by engaged high-net-worth investors, all known to the company. And Empire's strategy, experience, and resources positions us well for 2021 and beyond. As Alan mentioned earlier, you can reach us by emailing him. Alan's email is on the website, which is on the website, and you can connect him through that. Again, thank you for phoning in and your difficult questions this morning. I appreciate that. Have a good day.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.